Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. We're podcasting on site at Salimar Rooftop Bar in Midtown Tampa. And Salimar is the place to be for your next level dining experience. Chef Jonathan Rodriguez and squad will delight your appetite. Get here for an amazing atmosphere, fantastic food, and cool cocktails. You know Valentine's Day is coming up. Salimar is lover's paradise. Enjoy a Don Pablo coffee encrusted, perfectly cooked beef tenderloin served with charred broccolini and yuca fries. And I love yuca fries. Today we're talking powerhouse women in the hospitality industry. Chef Jefferson, you're on already. Let's welcome the chef de cuisine, Christine Robinson of Salimar. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
All right. So, first of all, you have a really good story.
I do. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's I dig it. It's cool. So what I want to do, first and foremost, before we get into your story, I would like Chef Jefferson here, okay? Starship, I would love for you to talk about your, a year or two years ago.
Yeah. Actually 3 years ago now.
You actually had a podcast. Talk about it. I don't want to steal your thunder.
During COVID, since we didn't have anything, I got furloughed from the position I had at the big conglomerate that I was working for. I started a podcast called Believe It or Not, Table for Two, Bitch Please. And it was right when the Me Too movement was coming out. And it was a lot of that crap that was being released, and I was interviewing primarily women chefs because I wanted to showcase what they go through, because it's such a different avenues that most men go through. I mean, there was a guy down in South Florida that felt that most women should not be on a hotline. Ooh. And that to me was just like grotesque in itself. He felt that they can only be in pantry and cold or grand manger or baking and pastry.
So it's funny that you mentioned that, because Chef and I were talking off camera, and I think you have that story, right?
I do. I have many stories of that.
I bet you do.
But getting my start, I was an omelet chef And I was hungry. I was ready to go. I was in college doing the whole like traditional culinary route. And I was like, how do I get on this line, chef? How do I get on this line? He's just like, there's no space for another woman in my kitchen. Straight up. That's what he said. And I was so shocked. And that was like the first time it really hit me. And they tell you about it in school, like it's a male dominated industry. And I've worked for some amazing chefs and we all talk about it. And it's just part of being in a male dominated world is you're going to have that adversity and you have to overcome it. You can use it as an excuse and be a victim, or you can, you know, without getting too political, you know, take the reins and make a change.
Chef, how long have you been, you know, in the kitchen? How long have you been in business?
Since I was old enough to be in a kitchen. I've been in a kitchen since 16, but I really, my very first restaurant that I was the executive chef at was in Williamsburg Winery. I'm from Williamsburg, Virginia, the Gabriel Archer Tavern. And I was 21. So in Virginia, you have to be 21 to be an executive or in management because you have to be able to handle the alcohol side of things. Mm. So 21 is my first go, and I've been in management ever since.
That's great. It's a tough racket too, because you heard it several times. It's a male dominant world, but yet the same token, and this is what we talked about in the podcast that I did. My mother is the one that taught me how to cook.
It's so true. So many chefs have that story. My mother, my grandmother, I learned from them, and then they go into a male dominant industry, and somewhere along the lines, it gets muddled.
Right, and what I love that you said. What did you tell about obviously Jonathan is the exec here.
Correct.
And then what are all the sous chefs?
So all my sous chefs, the next line under me, all my sous chefs are females.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
This is like
they're
state of the art over here.
Workers. They are respectable. They are growers, encouragers. Like they are like the next level. So they're the next growers to become my stage.
So, all right. 10 minutes ago. Right.
I don't know where he's going with this.
Two chefs sitting here. Uh-oh. And I happen to walk up and I have to tell you, like, if I was just reading script and didn't know who was who, my goodness, it was.
You actually accused her of being the female version of me.
Yeah, it was pretty raunch. I mean, but you know what? Funny stuff. It's like, it's the business, you know? So for me, I'm looking at that and I'm like, that's cool as hell. I don't know.
You have to roll with the punches.
Yeah.
What kind of obstacles, besides that one chef that said there was too many females on the line, what other type of obstacles do you see or have you heard about in the industry?
Well, the main one being having a family, you know, having a family outside of your restaurant's your baby. So a lot of people see it that way. And it's hard to have real life babies that you grow and become, you know, turn into adults. You really have to have a strong partner supporting you in that. There are plenty of people doing it out there and I commend them by themselves. But it's not an easy road to have both, you know, be a level of career and also have a family. So I think that's like the next step of that I hear from other female chefs.
That's so hard. Look, I mean, I have two young ones, you know, a 4 and a 7, and I do not half, but close to it. I mean, I'm very involved in what goes on in my house. And obviously I work a lot. There's a lot of that goes into what we do here. And it's hard. And I actually have, I have a spouse, my wife, we're tackling this. So when a lot of the people, many of the individuals who are in this industry, they don't have a significant other. Like they're, you know, we all come from broken homes and, you know, there's a dark side, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't know how on earth anybody could run, manage a restaurant, a kitchen, staff, all that stuff, and then have children. Like I would.
Women do it all the time.
I would rather go live in the woods. Like seriously, I would rather just be like, peace, everybody, I'm out. Chucking the deuces, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the problem with the industry and is a whole. I mean, you see the highest divorce rate, the highest addiction rate, the highest drug use. There's, you know, tenfold, because when you're working, everyone else is off. And when you're off, everyone else is working. So it's a difficult, you know, obstacle. I have a friend of mine, a private chef named Troy Schuller, called me the other day. He's like, how do you do work-life balance?
It's very difficult. And it takes time, especially when you come into a new restaurant. You have to dedicate so much time to get things to your standard. And running in a smooth way and to what you're used to and what you want. So that takes time and you have to dedicate additional hours to that. And it's good to see your staff to see you coming in and being so like hands-on and like, I'm here for you and kind of create that family environment. That's what I love about here at Sallymar. We're family. Everyone is family and we take care of each other and we got each other's backs. You know, so if one of my guys is like, hey, I need a weekend off to spend time with my kid, I'm going to do everything I can to make that happen because it's so hard to do both, even for the men, not just the women, but the men too, to balance that.
I feel like we've come a long way because I can remember my time when I was in the, when I was, you know, working in restaurants.
30 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. So there's that. But, you know, it was a long time ago. And I remember, like, there was a restaurant that I was working at, and the GM was a female. But she didn't start there. Like, there was a fella. And then he left, and they brought in, you know, a female.
That happens a lot. You have to transfer in at another level.
Right. Well, here's the thing. So I vividly remember, and this is about, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago. I vividly remember, you know, the whispers were, oh, man, I hope she's not going to, you know, I hope she's not going to overcompensate because she's, you know, female trying to be lead the, and I, you know, it was, it's what a stark difference from then to now. Because listen, I've worked with so many chefs over the last 20 years, you know, like elbow to elbow with chefs. I'm not in the kitchen, but I support chefs in the kitchen. And, you know, I don't know, maybe there was 15 female chefs over 20 years, maybe. You know, so I know that today it's something that the door has opened, and there, you know, I don't think it's as taboo as it used to be. Am I wrong?
No, it's not as taboo as it used to be. Like when I started out, I'm not going to say how long, I don't want to date myself, but when I started out, it was a little more taboo. And I also started in a old school chef world where it was taboo.
That was so, you know, unfortunately the people out there who have never worked in the industry, you don't know how horrible that is, that she's really what she's talking about. Like, there's some horrible things.
Yeah. Without getting too political, it gets.
Yeah. Or too.
You have to stand your ground. You know, you have to set the boundaries. You have to command respect.
Yeah.
You know, everyone deserves to be treated, you know, in an appropriate way in a work environment. And it gets kind of scary, you know, when it's like so stressful and things are flying and it's sweat, you know, we're all sweating and, you know, 12 hours later, you're so freaking tired, you can barely see the ticket coming in.
And you're only a foot or two apart.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
and that happens.
Yeah. On the line when you guys are cooking, you're a foot or two apart for people listening.
It doesn't even mean that. I mean, even prepping, you're still that close to that individual. You're
probably close quarters.
Even though,
absolutely.
Even though you might be in a relationship with somebody else, the people that are you working with every single day, you see them more than your own damn family. And that's when you have that, you know, when you bring that whole thing in and like that we're family. My old kitchen, just before when I left West Palm and I moved over here, they were all female. I loved it. It was so fantastic. And not just because it was just female. It was just because the diversity I had in it. They were from different cultures, different backgrounds.
That's amazing. That's the way to do it.
Yeah. And I think I know Jonathan does this. And when you were an executive chef, how did you interview for, not you per particular, but when a candidate came in, how did you interview that candidate?
One of my first questions is always, how do you manage the stress of the environment? Because that's number one. Because if you aren't managing yourself and you're coming in ready to go, you can't handle the shift. You're going to go down real quick. So I need a strong team.
So if they answer narcotics as the first, you know.
They're hired.
They're hired. Are they in or out?
That's going to be a no for me.
Okay, that's a no for me. Okay, I just wanted to be clear. Okay,
yeah, just to be clear. Okay. No.
You know, and it's very difficult too. I'm assuming here they probably get a background check, right? Before they get hired.
Yes, we have I haven't fully dived into, cause I am fairly new. Like this is my second week here.
Oh wow.
So yeah, fresh. But I've known Chef Jonathan for a long time and, I'm so glad to be in his wheelhouse. Not everyone knows this, but chefs keep a long list in their phones of other chefs that they've worked for to collaborate, to connect, to help promote, because that's what we do. Like you find someone that's your family and you want to help encourage them, especially if they're talented, see them grow.
I've only heard wonderful things about you.
They're all lies. I'm just kidding. No, they're great.
She paid them. Well, she paid them in bacon.
I pay everyone in bacon. I have a love for bacon that is unreal. So our Valentine's Day menu has has bacon
on it.
I
saw that.
Okay.
I saw that.
That's how
we're going to
get
to that menu in a second.
That's my second interview question, though. How do you feel about bacon? That's how I hired Chef Alex.
I love that.
When that's how I met him. I hired him as my sous chef at Tapping the Vine in Safety Harbor. And that was the question. He's like, I love it. Like, he just looked at me like, why is that even a question?
Do you know what's amazing? The dichotomy of what you just said. So you hired Chef Alex.
He did.
And now Chef Alex is hiring you.
He is.
And how cool is that? I mean, that's a relationship.
Yes.
That's trust.
Absolutely.
And that's amazing.
Well, that speaks volumes to what you do as an individual in the kitchen and what your leadership skills are.
Yes. You know? We, like, it's one of those things, like, we're a solid team. We balance each other so well. So, you know, to be able to actually work again together, I'm very excited for the opportunity, especially at, like, this is a beautiful place. Like, this is amazing. Chef
Jonathan's
done so much.
And it's a big company, too. Like, there's growth potential galore.
Yes, absolutely. We have a lot of amazing growth ahead, especially not just for the restaurant, but for the company as a whole. So I'm super excited about that.
So Chef de Cuisine. So you know what? Why don't you go? I'm going to let the professionals get in on this. Hierarchy in the kitchen. Okay.
It's called the brigade or brigade.
Brigade.
The brigade. You got to
brigade.
You got to say it like
la brigade.
Like your French. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's right. French.
Say it like Christophe. You know what I'm saying? No, he's
French. He can say it.
I know.
Brigade.
Chef Christophe, baby. You know what? We're talking about you. We are talking about you.
I do have to say this. One of my phenomenal mentors, and I still talk to, and she dropped a line over in LinkedIn. She busted my chops every single day when I worked with her at P.F. Chang's. And I mean, at first I was like, God, I just can't stand this person. And I look back now and she just was replicating what I needed to learn and driving me to do it because she saw that passion in me. And it's just an unbelievable individual. I mean, when you get someone like that, like you said,
that's
we're talking.
Where,
this I'm going to date myself. Ready for this?
Oh no.
1997.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
That's how long we've been friends. And that person, I still look at her, and I bounce ideas off of her. And you know, when I became the mental health advocate, she sent me a message, and she goes, "I can't believe what you're doing. It's just amazing.
That's so
what you're
important.
Doing. Yeah."
That's why my first question is, what's your work-life balance?
Yeah.
Because mental health is so important.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things we're trying to change in the industry and as a whole. There's a group of us that do this for the American Culinary Federation as well. The American Culinary Federation really grabbed and gravitated to it after Chef Anthony Bourdain passed away. Mm-hmm. And they really did a lot of stuff. And they have so many resources now. Chow is another resource that we want to get on board too. Maybe we need to get them on. And a call.
Well, you know, just to touch on that real quick, you know, one of the pillars of the Walk and Talk podcast, the show, the Walk and Talk media, this whole operation company is that the idea is that we want to help people that need help, you know, and I kind of, you know, the idea is to keep it within this industry, right? I mean, this is where we live. This is our wheelhouse. And you know, we're getting to a point where I think we'll be able to actually facilitate real help.
Absolutely.
You know, and that could be, you know, homelessness. It could be, you know, addictions. It could, you know, there's so many things, and it all happens in this industry. And it probably, I'm going to say it happens more in this industry than a lot of others. Not to say that, you know, it's exclusive to food service, but
it absolutely does happen.
A lot.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges that we face as an individual. I think though, women face it more because of that, you know, want to giving birth and take the time off, so on and so forth. And there are all those stipulations and so on and so forth. But yet at the same token, you do still have those men or the mentality out there that women should be barefoot and pregnant.
In the
I don't
kitchen,
know anybody.
But the kitchen at home, they say.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, you know, and I feel like I'm a good barometer for this. I don't know that there was a time in my life where I look down on someone because of whatever, you know, their gender, their color, whatever. If you're an a-hole, you're an a-hole. And that's the bottom line.
100%.
If you're somebody that can, you know, do the job or be the friend or whatever, I never cared. Who cares? If you're somebody that's accountable and you're going to help, you know, you're there for your friends, you're there for your family, whatever,
But
never mattered.
You gotta.
I don't know anybody who's like barefoot and pregnant. I don't know anybody like that.
Unfortunately, I know some people like that. But here's the thing. You got to realize that diversity in the kitchen also is the diversity in cultures. So there's a lot of cultures that come over and that are in the kitchen that don't believe because that's their culture. That's their belief. And so, that's what we have to stop.
So here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with a man being masculine. And there's nothing wrong with a female being feminine.
And there's nothing wrong with a masculine man being feminine and a female being masculine.
Right. Well, that's my point. Yep. You are who you are. Yeah, exactly. Whatever. It's not my business, truthfully. Not my business. And frankly, I don't care. So, you know, but it's as terrible to paint a negative picture of a female who's in charge as it is to paint a negative picture to a male who's in charge. At the end of it, you know, I mean, there really are, when it comes to compensation, there's differences and that's got to get worked out. There's no question on that. I mean, if, you know, equal work for equal work should be, you know, the same. As long as you're really doing the execution and the work, should be the same.
Fulfilling your job description.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, but the reality is, I don't know. I've I'm not dialed into that part. So, you know, I've been removed from that for a little bit now. So I'm not sure how that gets down.
Yeah. I just feel that we got to open up more dialogue, and the more we open up, the more that we can counterattack, if that's not the real word, but counterattack the thinking, the thought process, the philosophy of women should be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen at their home, like you stated. But again, like how does somebody listening right now who is a female who wants to become a chef, what would you tell them how to overcome those obstacles?
Have a good support system outside of the kitchen. And when you get there, just show up and be the best badass you can be. Be humble. If there's something you don't know, don't pretend like you do. That aggravates me. Just be honest. Say, I don't know. I want to learn. And that I can work with. I can't work with a person that knows everything and thinks that they have they were God's gift to the world. But I can work with a person that's like, I don't know, but I want to learn and I want to be there and I want to grow and I want to be where you are. But that's what I would say. Just hone your skills, learn as much, absorb as much as you can inside and outside the kitchen, and then take that and then show people like, I know what I'm doing. I'm here.
Be a servant leader.
That's a good one. Servant leader. Yeah.
Yeah. Be a servant leader.
Now you said you helped out for 2 weeks ago. You came in. What do you do when you come into a kitchen and you're taking it over? And
the first thing I personally do is observe. The only time I make any drastic changes, if it's like a sanitation or like a safety issue, I observe. I learn what the current procedure is. Where are the forms for this? What's the organization? And then as I start to absorb all that and in my observations, I then start making, you know, the processes to make their jobs more streamlined, to make their jobs, I wouldn't say easier, but more smooth. And then kind of just reinforcing that we're a team. I'm part of your team and I'm here to support you. I'm not here to, you know, I've been in kitchens where new management comes in, everyone's fired. That's it. We're starting fresh.
Yep.
Everyone thinks that they're Gordon Ramsay. We're starting fresh. You know, I've been in that environment before and
it sucks.
It sucks. And people are scared of change just in general. Like, oh gosh, there's a new person. What are we going to do? Is my job going to be terrible now? It's like, no, I'm here. I'm your team. You're my family now. And I don't want to make your job terrible. But I have a standard. Salimar has a standard and we want to grow and we have so many things planned and I need to get you in that mindset. So we have to stop saying, well, just last week. I don't care what happened last week. This is what we're doing today.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Yeah, that's my favorite line from when you take over a kitchen as a chef, a sous chef, whatever you're going in as, and you're one of the leaders, is, well, when we, back when we did it.
We used to.
Yeah, that's my favorite line. When we used to do it. No.
That's great. Well, this is how we're doing it now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I don't like that that commentary.
We used to.
Well, how we normally do it.
That's cool. This is how we do it now.
Yeah. And again, you hear that they haven't really been here and like established for 20 years, right? As far as the line cooks and people that have been working here. It's different when you have somebody, that's been working for a company 20 to 30 years, they will not listen to you no matter what. Mm-hmm. That's a different breed. That's another podcast. I'm like, how do you get to those?
Quick, funny story. So this is a long time ago down in Fort Lauderdale. I go.
Fort Lickerdale.
Yes. Right. So it was actually right around the corner from the elbow room, which
I was
is
just about to say the elbow room,
which is applicable to your comment. All right, so
Los Olas.
Yes, so I go down there. Buddy of mine gets a chef position at a place. He calls me in, and we're talking, and he goes, "Man, you know, I really wanted to give everybody promotions, like the cats who've been here for 15 years. I kind of wanted to move them up." And he goes, "Man," he goes, "I'm kind of disappointed." I'm like, "Well, what happened? What's the matter?" He's like, "You know, it's a, you know, whatever the name was, you know, guy in the back there." I said, "Listen, I kind of want to make you my sous chef. You've been here a long time. You know all the processes. You know everything." And I offered him this position, and the guy says, "Oh no, I make chicken. I only make the chicken here."
And you have people like that.
Yeah, and I'm like, "What do you mean? You just want to make the chicken?" So, I mean, you run into so many different personalities. Like, you know what? I'm happy making the chicken.
That's fine. Okay. That's a respectable position, making the chicken.
As is.
As long as he's making it perfect.
I just want to say this. Yeah, you have to make perfect chicken.
It's expensive.
It's okay to just make chicken, and it's okay if you actually want it to be barefoot and pregnant at home. Because there's females out there who want that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Like, literally leave people alone, everybody. Like, oh my goodness, let's all be, you know, totally friends.
I think when you're dealing with a team, and especially in the kitchen, there's so many different avenues. Like, we talk about, like, what music you listen to in the kitchen. What do you, you know, you set yourself up, you know, either one, that shift's going to run you, or two, you're going to run the shift.
You have to run the shift.
Yep. And there's some days that the shift definitely runs you. I don't care how organized you are.
And you're done.
Well, life is chaos, and kitchens are chaos, and you have to be prepared for that. And the best way to be prepared is to be running the ship, having your organizings, you know, your organization in place, having your people in place, knowing your people, knowing how far you can push your people to growth. Or if you just have like some staff that all they want to do is wash dishes, or all they want to do is make chicken. You know, that's how you get to learn your team. And that's why I observe when I first come in, is I learn who those are.
Symphony of Chaos.
Symphony of Chaos.
Well, thriving on it, as Tom Peters would call it, the book, which is a great book, by the way. what about, as far as leadership, what leaders do you look at and say, this is what I want to do? Like, talking to somebody who's looking to come into the industry, what would you tell them about looking for the right leadership?
When you're looking for a leader, you want to look for someone who has the passion and the respect there, regardless of your situation, gender,
culture. They don't see anything but the person.
They see the person, and they see what's inside you, and that's what matters. Because I can't do anything with an empty shell. If you don't have the passion, the drive, the hunger for it, you know, I can't do much with you. I can mold hunger and passion and drive and hard workers. I can mold that, and I can teach them skills you can learn. You can learn skills, but passion and hunger, like, I can't teach that. You have to have that.
Yeah, it's just funny. I was with somebody from the ACF, and we were talking about how another person, Amy Thompson, who used to be the event coordinator, used to do these little things. Like, if somebody came in with their family, she ran out and got Mickey Mouse ears or something. And she's like, "You can't teach that." And I'm like, "Yeah, you can't. That's called love and passion for it." And
dedication.
Dedication. Well, yeah. And it's not only that. It's just, I call it the Cheers effect, right?
Okay.
Where everyone knows your name.
So
when you see that guest coming back repeatedly.
Do you realize that
nobody's going to? I know. They're going to have to Google that.
Google Cheers.
And Norm. Folks.
And Norm. Norm from Cheers.
Oh, I can't believe I'm constantly aging myself. I don't even know what program is out there now that would do that. But what do you think about Bull? Or Bear. Sorry, Bear.
I love Bear. Oh, my gosh. That is an amazing. If you guys haven't seen it, you need to see it.
How about the menu? the menu, the movie, the menu with Ralph Fiennes. And
I haven't seen the menu yet.
How about the Walk and Talk?
A little bit behind. Walk and Talk is pretty great. Like that podcast. Like,
yeah.
We didn't set that up. She actually listens to us.
Right.
I do, in fact. And then there's Burnt is a good one, but it just like depicts like the ugly side, and people watch that like, is this real? And, like, yes, it is real as raw. The industry is like that.
Can I ask you a question?
Out.
When did Burnt come out? How long ago?
2015.
Yeah.
2015?
Yeah.
What about the other ones?
Bear just came out.
Bear was like last year. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then you have Chef, which is John Favreau.
Chef. And yeah, the menu John Favreau. Was just released like
this year.
Is it fair to me to say that
2022.
That Bear and what's the other one?
Menu.
They probably came out after checking out the Walk and Talk show. Right?
Probably.
You think so?
Yeah,
you think,
I mean, it had to be. I mean, yeah. there must be a connection. I'm just saying.
That is an interesting thought.
I think the Bear is more of the restaurant industry. The menu is more poking fun at the high end restaurant.
Yeah, I definitely want to see the menu. That's on my list.
What do you think about Rene Rapenzi and Closing Noma?
Closing Noma?
Yeah. Did you know that?
I've seen that.
So, yeah, they actually came out that he said it was non-sustainable for him. And what I equated when I read about it was the mental health aspect of it too, that his people could not every day in and day out, get to that level. And he just was like, we're going to close.
Oh, wow.
You guys, when we put this out on YouTube, you got to watch her face, because that was just beautiful that you're how shocked you are.
I mean, that's true though. And that's something that, you know, management needs to consider is how hard you can push your staff, but they need to have fun too. Like you need to have... You know, it's not always like you have to have a balance and you have to help them find that balance. And sometimes, you know, restaurants, they just don't have the labor budget to have the amount of staff you need to give people time off. You know, some places they just like they're open Tuesday through Saturday and it's that one team Tuesday through Saturday. And that's it. And if they want time off, well, it better be on Sunday and Monday when we're not open. Make all your doctor's appointments on Mondays, guys.
You know, we're in a weird place in the world because everybody wants stuff. We all want stuff. I want to go to the mall and get stuff, or I want to go on Amazon and buy stuff. But people have to, like, make the stuff, and people have to package the stuff and deliver the stuff. And, you know, whether it's, a sweater that you bought from Amazon or an appetizer at Sallymar, somebody has to prepare those things and deliver them and cook them and whatever. And I feel like it's hard to find people that want to do those things. And, you know, we need to get like past the last, 2.5 or 3 years. We need to get past that because especially in this industry now, you can negotiate a pretty decent deal where before you were like pegged at $12 an hour to be on the line. I mean, I have some of my chefs, like we talk and, you know, they're hiring people at like $18 an hour to be on the line. Like, you know, come on, man. Like,
you have to combat, you know, Target and Publix and Best Buy, what they're paying their minimum wage.
Right. I mean, there needs to be a real call to action to get people interested back in culinary. You need to have the creativity and to be excited about it, because the truth is, who the hell wants to stand on standing up for 10, 12 hours a day?
Sweating.
There's a thing called swamp ass. And you know what? It's a real thing. It's like
cornstarch.
Cornstarch. Yeah. Like you tell that to people, they're like, oh yeah, cornstarch. No, man. Cornstarch saves your life. And
more times than not.
Yeah.
Without the talcum.
You go to
no talc. That's not good for you.
It's horrible. No.
Horrible. So but if there's a service restroom, right? There's always a carton or two of cornstarch in that facility.
And it's marked bathroom only.
I have a whole change of clothes. Like I have a whole like life-sustaining kit in my car.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
So let me ask you a question. You came, you were an executive chef. You're here now as chef de cuisine. We didn't talk about the brigade. We only mentioned the brigade, as Chef Christoph would say. So you have an executive chef, chef de cuisine,
and then chefs. You have your sous chefs. Right. And then under there, we have our junior sous chefs. And then we have people that were training from other areas to like come in and learn from their international students.
So they go to the different properties or back to the where they came from.
Absolutely.
So how do you go from an executive chef position? Now you're in, like, for the lack of better terminology, now you're behind in the shadows of Jonathan.
Well, it kind of changes, you know, like it depends on the size of the place where the title comes from. You know, some places they just have a head chef. That's the executive chef position. So it just changes based on the size. But I am so grateful to be able to be under Chef Jonathan and learning from him and have this opportunity to really help him grow further and take Delimar to the next level.
So, yeah, that's what you need, like those kind of people.
So, by the way, I just want to say that we love Chef Jonathan. He's not here today, but we do want to give
our hearts shout out respect.
Big shout out, big respect to Chef Jonathan Rodriguez. I want to kind of get into, there's this little thing that happens in February. It's called Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
And I kind of looked at the menu. And it's
vivacious Valentine's menu.
Oh, it's vivacious. I love it. So it looks really awesome. Let's kind of get into that. And Mr. Producer, Jonathan, John, from Ibis Images, what's the first slide? Scallops. Can you tell us about the scallops?
Yeah, here she goes.
And say it slow.
She has to go on the menu. Look, that's what she's looking at.
We have the seared sea scallops.
Say it slow. No, I'm kidding.
With chorizo honey butter.
Oh, my God.
You can go with that voice. That's doing it.
I'm happy with this, yeah. Okay.
I'm so excited about
she turned
this
beet
whole
red,
menu,
by the way. Yeah, she beet red.
My face says it all.
I love it.
But yeah, so the seared sea scallops, they're delicious. I can't wait to I saw them go by. I can't wait for everyone to see them and try them and get out here and, you know, make some reservations for Valentine's Day.
What you don't know is that we already took pictures and uploaded. They're on the video form.
Oh, well, I'm talking about it right now.
Yeah.
That's amazing technology.
Yeah.
I love it.
We don't mess around here on the Walk and Talk show.
Yes. Yeah, so sea scallops. Mm. Love them. They're great. Just, we were pan searing them. We're kind of bringing back the pan sear, kind of stepping a little. Still have that fancy gastronomy here and there.
I mean, I heard something about some old school chefery.
Old school chefery.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
So old school chefery.
That's not me.
Uses a little bit less gastronomy. And like we really paying attention to the flavors. You really pay attention to how you build that dish and the flavors in it.
So that means you're taking your time.
Taking your time.
With each ingredient.
I'm actually going to chime in and be like, and Alex is going to love this. It's actually going back to basics and the techniques involved and how to do things. And that's the key. It doesn't matter what you're utilizing. It's how you're actually ending up at that finished product.
Yeah.
You're not rushing it. You're just doing it the right way.
And by the way, before we get into this, to the second dish, we are recording in real time. On site at Salimar Rooftop Bar in Midtown Tampa. So you're going to hear activities behind us, you know, servers setting up, the bar is setting up, things are happening. And we do this on purpose. Can we go get a studio somewhere? Yeah, sure. But we're trying to bring some depth and character and the grit of the industry and the people that work within it. So if you hear noise in the background, attribute that to, hey, this is part of the business. And if you don't like it, too bad. But still listen. Love you. With that said, go on. What's the second dish? This one sounds...
This is mine.
So our main course.
Yeah, me too.
The Don Pablo.
Oh my God.
Coffee crusted filet.
Darren Burke, do you hear this? Darren Burke?
Don Pablo. Coffee crusted filet.
Yes.
Yeah, wait. There's one before that though.
The Chilean sea bass?
No, the one before that.
No, forget all that. Let's talk.
I thought we were talking about the main course.
No, I want to know about that.
Oh,
other
the
app.
Pork belly? The
yeah,
fried pork
there
belly?
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Okay, so we're going back. Sorry.
Let's get back to Don Pablo.
Don Pablo.
We are.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the pork.
I like the pork too. Don't get me wrong. You know me. I'm all about it. But.
So we're doing a Spanish dry rub fried pork belly served with a sherry glaze.
Ooh.
And that's going to be nice and tender, but also crisp.
Quickly, like a touch and go, what's a sherry glaze?
A sherry glaze?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's a glaze. Like, you reduce it down. It's got sherry in it. Those are your, like, those are your main flavors.
Yes.
So basically, a glaze is a reduction, and it takes a very long time to do it.
You wanted me to say the non-chefy.
Yeah. It's not for me. It's
layman's
for the,
terminology.
It's for the foodie who's like, what that? What's
it's
a glaze?
Like, it's for Jay from Citrus America.
What? I was like, you don't know what a jerk.
It's not for me.
I'm sorry.
We're talking,
honestly,
but there's
he
like.
Still doesn't.
Booking for Valentine's Day right now.
There's
on
ones
table.
And twos of people listening to this. Like,
you can
ones
try
and
it.
Twos.
Yeah,
you can come try it. It's delicious. Oh my God. You're going to love it.
I know. It sounds wonderful.
And I love pork belly. I love pork. We already talked about it. Right. I love
jump
the
into the pork belly.
I'm sorry. I had to bring it back to pork belly. That's just me.
You dirty.
I apologize for skipping.
It's okay. Dirty.
What else?
What the pork belly?
The pork belly. Yeah, oh, so it's got the Spanish dry rub.
Don't
so
let me hang in
it's
here.
Gonna have a nice crust on the outside, but it's also gonna be really tender. So we're slow cooking that, so that way it's not. I hate chewy pork belly. I like tender, moist, melt in your mouth. Mm.
But the hard top, is it gonna have the skin on
it's
or skin
have,
off?
We're having
skin on or skin off.
Skin on. I'm staring right now.
Yeah, we're all staring.
I'm doing a 1,000-yard stare, but in my focus. Is Chef Alex. Alex, why don't you come in?
Why don't you come on in here, Chef Alex? You can talk about our pork belly.
Right. How we doing, guys?
Fantastic to see you, man.
I love it.
Sarah is in the back of the house cooking up the Don Pablo crusted filet.
For
that
him.
Is seared and cured in-house.
I didn't even get to see it. I guess I was talking.
No,
I
don't but know. You know what? Guess what? Your folks are seeing it on camera right now.
Oh,
and
man.
It looks delicious.
I love it.
So we went ahead.
You didn't feed these two, did you? Because I'll be pissed.
Remember the last time?
No, they're busy. Someone's got to produce the show, Carl.
Do you know what I'm
Someone's
saying?
Someone's got to do it.
I feel like it's...
Not everyone's the face in the last.
I guess you're right.
You know?
Right.
The people behind the camera are the ones that's doing the true work here. We just get to look pretty on
makeup.
Camera.
Makeup?
There it is.
Yeah,
there it is.
That's right.
Yeah, did you hear we have a booking agent now?
Perfect.
Booking. Right.
I wanted to jump in here though, because I kind of want to jump on this filet.
Yes.
Because I have a little bit more story with Carl, because Don Pablo has been from the beginning.
Yes.
And they have a bourbon infused coffee that is amazing. You open that jar up.
Wait, is that what that was? Like, it's bourbon infused coffee.
Bourbon infused.
Why did you not?
Well,
you left
coffee.
That out.
I was going to reveal it when Chef Alex got here.
I know, we had to do
surprise.
The big reveal.
Can I get a cup of coffee then?
Yes,
surprise.
Can. So it's pretty that much sounds... coffee on a filet.
Yes,
and it's delicious. And our bartender just went back there and had some, and he's like, "What in the world is going on? The whole kitchen smells like bourbon coffee, and it tastes delicious." So
what do you mean? Wait.
Where's Don Pablo?
They were drinking the coffee, or
no,
they were eating
it on the filet. So you didn't get filet, by the way. It's gone.
Oh, you
when it smells and looks that good.
Yeah, they're gone.
It's gone. It's done.
I'm speechless. What is this?
Hey, you know what? They were speechless too, trying it out. And so will our guest.
He's actually still taking applications too, by the way. He's still can take it further.
I don't know. Listen, folks out there, you need to get here on the 4th. So Valentine's Day, you need to get your significant other and get your butts over to Sally Marr. I mean, I smelled it. And I'm like, oh, good. I'm going to get a piece of that action. That's no, good. I don't get it. You know, like we're here. We're bringing like millions of dollars worth of equipment. That's not true. But we're bringing a lot of stuff here. And we're doing all this. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to get a little filet with some, you know. No. I'm hurt.
I have to admit, we have to put a camera on John, because when you said that and his facial expression when you said $1 million,
$1 million,
that was classic.
Yeah. I mean, what can I tell you? It's good stuff. So, Alex.
Yes.
What is going on here at Sally Marr? There's a whole, like, Schultzy movement. What's going
on? So, we want to make sure that everyone knows, when you come and stay here at Element and Aloft, you're getting service with Sally Marr and with these extra venues like WXYZ, what we have downstairs, which is another hidden exclusive bar with pool tables and different drinks and different food. So you get to come through here and enjoy that Latin influence up here. And then downstairs, you get something different. And then exclusively coming up soon, we're going to have what's called the tastings, where we have our own Armando, who's our som, who is going to pair.
Wait. I know what that means. Yeah, thank you.
So it is our wine expert who knows regions, where they're coming from, how everything tastes.
What grade
so
is
wait
he?
A minute. Can I, wait a second. Wait, time out.
Man,
grade one or two?
He's think he's one.
One, okay.
I would like some wine. Like that? Is it what you mean?
Some wine.
Sommelier.
Okay. I got you.
It's the French word.
Yeah, French word.
Armando says it so much sexier, though. He really does. Like,
well, Christophe would probably say it even sexier.
No, we got to get Chef Christophe.
Because he's got that French je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
Even the Spanish, they got it rolling off the tongue. It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, what's up
I just
that?
Want to say to you guys, like I've tell people, like you got to go see Jonathan over at Sally Moore's, and you got to see whatever. And the people go, I've constantly hear how great the food is over at Sally Moore. So Jonathan and the team and yourself and Alex,
the personalities congrats. Here. So let me just say something. So you know, Christina, we just met today. Okay.
She's part of the family now.
She's part of
the
family, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I've known Chef Jonathan Rodriguez for a while now, and Chef Alex for a while now. And you know what? And I mean this sincerely. Like, they're good people. You know what I mean? And when you get a group together, and they come together, and they create stuff. In this case, we're talking food, right? We're talking about a dining or a culinary experience.
Yep.
Right? So what happens here is beautiful. And it's not something that happens everywhere. And that's the kicker. You can go to places, and you get some rank and files that show up, and you know they perform, and maybe the dishes are good, but there's love in here.
You can't stop that, John.
Yeah, no. I mean, I told you we're doing this live here, recording live, real time.
Yeah, but John just kind of gave him like, "What are you kidding me? Look,
that's the producer's job."
Right.
So, but you know, at the end of the day, the group of people here who are in charge of creating the dishes and the cocktails that you're going to go out and enjoy, they're good people. And you need to come out and check them out, especially on Valentine's Day.
It's a big shout out to Chef John, because his heart and his leadership is what pulls chefs in, right?
I think it's more his passion too. It's got to be his passion.
My motto has always been great chefs make great chefs, and we attract each other. So now this is... I have to say, not only because the powerhouse of talent, but the powerhouse of women we have in here that is like really like holding this place, not like together, but thriving.
We're taking a full circle.
It is full circle right here.
Yeah. And absolutely. I think mentorship is the biggest thing that chefs can do. Once we get to that level of the exec chef or whatever, the top chef is giving back. And like what you were talking about early off camera, which I have made a comment to about going back to the basics. And it doesn't matter what food you put out. If you're not doing the basics, right? If you're not breathing, walking, and talking like that, you can't hit the mark. And that's, I think, the most impressive thing that you can do. And consistently here at Sally Moore, they're doing it. They're rocking it. Hats off to Chef Alec or Chef. Not, I'm looking. No, at you,
I appreciate
Chef
that Jonathan. Too. I'll take it.
I know you took the credit for the win for CP.
So what I want everyone to do is go on to Walk and Talk Media on YouTube. Walk in I N Talk Media
dash
and look for. You don't have to put. I mean, the dash is like I'm so OCD on the dash, but. Go to the to our YouTube channel and check out the video that we did on Chef Jonathan Rodriguez. If you want to see the personality of this man, go there and look and watch, because it really gets, you know, he's a family guy. He's such a good human being. So that's all I got to say about that.
I mean, it's not only that. I mean, you look at, like, you can see by looking at somebody, you're like, okay, he's got talent. We met in St. Pete, and I looked at what you guys were doing. I was like, okay, that team has got some stuff going on there. I mean, you guys clicked. You could see it, the way you guys bonded. Well,
they
together.
Won, you know.
Well, yeah, obviously they did, but it's just more than that. When you...
They were first. They came in first place. That.
You know what? It's not going to piss me off, because I didn't care if it wasn't me. It's Alex. Jonathan and Alex, no, I was okay with that. I know you do. That's why I'm doing it.
I'm still waiting for the Flava Flav moment with the...
Listen, Alex just got... Sorry, Jonathan, you're not here. But Alex just got some really good bourbon bacon to go with that bourbon-encrusted coffee rubbed filet. I'm just saying.
I can't wait to try that at
about
home.
About to be dirty things going on back there.
It's so dirty. I love it.
Dirty but clean by health code standards. Clean.
Yeah. No,
clean. Well, here's the thing. That you got to think that this guy right here forgot... The bacon last week went to Universal Studios, so I had brought it today. I'm like, you know, I'm going to see Alex. I threw an extra pound in there for you.
I love it. From the bacon family. Cartel?
Yeah, from the bacon. Here's the thing. John goes to me. He goes, hey, how much do I owe you? And I'm like, dude, I'm the perfect drug dealer. You're going to get hooked. You're going to come back.
His first one's a freebie.
Wow. Nothing says family like bacon.
Yeah.
True.
Crispy. Yeah. I like crispy bacon.
Yeah. We were talking about that without you. My love for bacon.
I missed the best part then.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
bacon's like KFC. It's finger looking good.
Well, yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Well, so I just want to thank everybody here. Chef Christine, Chef Alex,
welcome
Chef
to
Jeffrey
the family.
Schlissel. We got Veronica in the house.
Yay, Veronica's back.
We got John Hernandez from Ibis Images. He's the Mr. Producer of the day.
Giving the dirty looks. Dirty looks to the
dirty
bartender.
Looks John. Yep, that's what we call him. Dirty looks John. So, listen, everybody, I appreciate everyone. Check us out on our website at thewalkintalk.com. And don't forget to check out Pizzecchi's produce. And don't forget to, you know, go to our website and look at our sponsors. Look at our vendor partners. Check us out. What are y'all doing?
Email us, too. Doing? If you want to see some show content, go ahead and email us.
Yeah, listen, if you're a chef and you want to be on this wonderful program, reach out. And if you're a distributor, or if you're someone in the business with a brand or a product and you want us to market it for you, contact us. We are out.
Not in my head.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.